Sechte Tainis, Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph, Tosis Divya Maschil, Holchu Vifginu. The Gemara records that there was a decree made by the Roman government against Shmiras HaTorah VaMitzvos, and a Roman matron advised the Chachamim to protest. And they took the advice, and that's the Divya Maschil of Tosis, Holchu Vifginu. The Tosis divide into two parts, first to explain what the word Vifginu means, and then to explain the content of their protest. In the Oz Vahara, they changed the Girsa to Hefginu rather than Hefigu in the opening word of the actual Tosfos, which makes more sense in terms of Dibur Maschil. Hefginu, Lashon Nehi Utsa'oka. The word Hefginu refers to crying out. Rashi explains similarly. Now Tosfos explains the content of their protest. The Gemara records that they said the following, Ei Shamayim, Lo Achim Anachnu, Lo Bnei Av Echad Anachnu, Lo Bnei Eim Achas Anachnu, Manashtenenu Mikol Uma V'Loshen Shatem Gozer Malenu Gzeros Ros. Ei Shamayim, which is some kind of call to the heavens, that Tosis will explain in a moment. Lo Achim Anachnu, a call to the Romans, are we not brothers? Lo Bnei Av Echad Anachnu, aren't we the sons of one father? Presumably a reference to Yitzchak Avinu, who had Yaakov and Esav. Lo bnei emachas anachnu, aren't we the sons of one mother, namely Rivka Imenu? Manishtanenu mikoluma v'loshen shatam gozer malenu gzeros ros. How come we are different than any other nation that you are making so many evil decrees against us? Then the Gemara records the happy ending that indeed the decree was annulled. So Tosis now explains the content of the protest. Ei Shamayim Garsinan, apparently there was some other gears as well. Pirish, what does Ei Shamayim mean? Shamayim la kodesh baruch hu hayotzokim. The reference to the heavens is a reference to Hashem, that they were calling out to Hashem. Now what does the word A mean? Lama yamra hagoyim ayei elokechem. Why should the non-Jews say, where is your God? This is of course a paraphrase of the famous Perek in the Hallel in Tehillim Kuf Tesvav, beginning Lalanu Hashem Lelanu. So there we have a similar verse in Pasuk Bet. Lama yamra hagoyim ayein elokechem. So how did Tosis know that that's what they were referring to? So it seems that Tosis is translating the word A as a short form of Aye. So then A Shemayim reads as Aye Shemayim, meaning that the non-Jews shouldn't say, where are the heavens? Meaning, where is HaKadosh Baruch Hu? How come he's not saving you? So they were davening that the lack of salvation shouldn't cause a Chilul Hashem. It's interesting that this is in contrast with Rashi, who translated the word A as a form of saying whoa, or some kind of screaming out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the language of Aho. Now Tosis proceed to explain the rest of the content of their calling out. Lehem Omru, and to them, meaning to the Romans, they were saying, V'chilav, Achechem Anachnu, V'chule, are we not your brothers, etc. So, as does Rashi, Tosis divides the protest into two. A Shemayim was calling out to Hashem, either as Tosis say, davening that they shouldn't be Chil Hashem, that they shouldn't say, where is Hashem, or according to Rashi, A Shemayim, an expression of screaming out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, of woe. And both agree that the latter half, V'chilav Achechem Anachnu, were calling out to the Romans that they should annul the decree. And Rashi just adds in a phrase, presumably Tos would agree to that, Lefnei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, since they already had called out to Hashem. So when they're calling out to the Romans, that, so to speak, would be in the presence of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he should give their effort success to annul the decree, which indeed it was. Taisir Maschel and Nitzchar Lechodesh Me'uber. The Gemara, in an earlier part, starting from Yizayin and Beis, moving on to Yud Ches Amud Aleph, had said that the Megillas Tainis is going in accordance with the view of Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi, to recall, in the Mishnah held that at least in a more major holiday in the Megillas Tainis, that's prohibited to not only fast but also to eulogize, not only Tainis but also Hesped. So it's not only Usher the day before as well in fasting, but also the day after. So now the Gemara challenged that if that's true, that the Megillas Tainis is going with that approach, so why then was it necessary to establish the holiday that commemorated the halachic victory concerning something to do with the Korban Tamid between the first and the eighth day of Nisan from Aleph to Ches? And the Gemara had explained that even though the first day is already Rosh Chodesh, so why did they need to make that into a separate holiday? So the Gemara explains that that's to ban the day beforehand, namely that Chav Tes Adar, which is the day before Aleph Nisan, should also be Aser B'Tainis. Then the Gemara, based on a different kasha, concluded that Rabbi Yossi was the author of the Braisos and Megillas Tainis, and according to him, the day after a holiday in the Megillas Tainis would also be Yosser. So now the Gemara asked the following question. Another holiday in the Megillas Tainis is the 28th day of Adar, and that's the holiday that they were able to overcome the Roman decree that the previous Tosis was referring to. So putting it all together, so why did they have to declare 1 through 8 as a holiday for the Tamid? And the Gemara's answer was in order to ban the day before in fasting, the 29th. But if the Megillas Tainis is going with Rabbi Yossi's view, so it's already Usher because it's the day after the 28th. So once again, leave well enough alone and only make the holiday of the Tamid from day 2 through day 8. Day 1 will be Usher anyway to fast and to eulogize because of Rosh Chodesh. And the day before the first day of Nisan, which will be the 29th day of Adar, will also be taken care of because that will be the day after the 28th of Adar, which was a separate holiday because of the annulment of the Roman decree against Torah and Mitzvos. So the Gemara records Abaye's answer among several other answers, and that is the Dira Maschel of Tosis, Lo Nitzucha Ela L'Chodesh Me'uber, that it is only necessary for a Chodesh Me'uber. So Tosis is going with the second interpretation of Rashi, which is as follows: Pirish the Abrua La'Adar, that they made Adar literally into a pregnant month, into a full month, that normally Adar is 29 days. And declaring the first day of Nisan also as a holiday would have a nafkamina in a case where they made Adar into a Chodesh Moleh having 30 days. How so? Shelo nira alavana ad yom lamed, because the moon was only seen on the 30th day, and therefore v'havi Rosh Chodesh Nisan yom lamed aleph. And therefore Rosh Chodesh Nisan took place the next day on the 31st. Of course, Rosh Chodesh either being on day 30 of the previous month or being on day 31 of the previous month, whether the previous month was a chaser or a male. So basically Tos is saying it was a male month because they didn't see the moon till the 30th. The phraseology of Tosis is a little bit difficult and needs further study. One has to be ma'ayin further in Masech Rosh Hashanah. Because typically speaking, if one would see the moon on day 30, then one would run to the Beis Din and presumably they would declare that very day to be Rosh Chodesh. So why does Tosis say that they didn't see the moon until day 30 and therefore they declared Rosh Chodesh to be the day after? So Tzorach Iyun in Hilchos Kiddush HaChodesh, I believe they quote an answer in the name of the Nodeh Behuda, which I didn't quite understand, so we'll leave it for now. Perhaps there's a Girsa problem and we should have Shalom Nira Lavona Ad Yom Lamed Aleph, and therefore Vahavi Rosh Chodesh Nisan Yom Lamed Aleph. But you have to look more into these halachas. If Tosis has a different shita, that if the moon is seen on day 30, that automatically we would declare the Rosh Chodesh to be the next day, which seems somewhat unusual. So now Tosis explains, and how does that answer the question? So, before we proceed to read the Tosis, let us explain Rashi's interpretation, because as we shall see, Tosis' interpretation seems to be not in accordance with the simple reading of the Gemara. Rashi's interpretation is that if in any given year Adar had 30 days, and therefore Rosh Chodesh Nisan was going to be on the 31st, which then would become day 1. So the day before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, in other words, the day before the first of the 8-day holiday celebrating the victory concerning the Karban Tamid, would not be day 29, but rather would be day 30 of Adar. Happens to be in our calendar system that's also going to be Rosh Chodesh. But as some of the Achronim explain, we'll be talking about a case, let's say, where mathematically we know that there's no way for the 30th day to be Rosh Chodesh, and therefore that was not celebrated as Rosh Chodesh as well. We only celebrated it because of the possibility that it could have been Rosh Chodesh, and therefore when we have a 2-day Rosh Chodesh, we celebrate both days as Rosh Chodesh because the first day might have been Rosh Chodesh, and then in the end it turned out to only be the second. So, as we pointed out in our introduction, the Gemara had asked, why do you have to declare the Tamid holiday from 1 through 8, but the first is Usher anyway because Rosh Chodesh? And the Gemara answered, because we wanted to ban the day before also, which normally would be the 29th of Adar. And then the Gemara asked, but the 29th of Adar is Usher anyway because it's the day after the 28th of Adar, which is a holiday in its own right. So here's the answer, that we do need to declare the holiday of the Tamid from 1 through 8, because we need to ban the day before. And that day before, in certain years, would not be Usher because of some other holiday, because the day before would be day 30 of Adar. And the day 30 of Adar is not the day after the holiday of 28th Adar. The day after that is day 29. So in order to make sure that that 30th of Adar is also Aser B'Tainis, so we have an Afkamina, why we have to declare the 8-day festival of celebrating the Tamid from 1 through 8 in order to ban that day before, namely Lamed Adar, since 29, which would normally be the day before Aleph Nisan, so that would be taken care of because of the regular holiday of 28, and it's the day after 28. But not every year is the day after 28 Adar going to be the day before 1 Nisan. So most years, the day after 28 Adar will be the day before 1 Nisan, namely 29 Adar. And therefore there's redundancy, and we don't need to declare an 8-day holiday for the Tamid. We could have started from day 2, and all the other days will be taken care of. But if we're dealing with an Adar that's Malay, so then, in order to make sure that the 30th of Adar, which is the day before 1 Nisan, is Aser B'Tainis, so therefore we have to have the 8-day holiday of the Tamid starting from day 1. The 28th day of Adar would only take care of day 29. That is where Rashi explains it, and now we shall read the Tosus, as we shall see. Tosus seems to explain in the opposite direction, which seems to be against the simple reading of the Gemara. So, the words of Tosus. Pirish, 3 lines into the Tosus, in the middle of the line. Vim Kain, Haichav Tes, this 29th day of Adar, Lo Matzinu Lo Osro, Mishum Yom Shelefnei Rosh Chodesh Nisan, that 29th day of Adar cannot be banned because of the day before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, the Yom Lamed Mafsik Bein Tayim, because the 30th day interrupts in the middle. So we're not able to ban the 29th by dint of the power of Aleph Nisan, that holiday of the Tamid. Mishum Hachi, therefore, it's Tzirich LaOsro Mishum Yom Shalachar Esrim Utmanya. So therefore, we had to ban the 29th because of the holiday of the 28th. So, to summarize what Tosfos is saying here. According to Tosfos, our goal, it sounds like, is to ban day 29 from fasting. So, he understands, presumably, the terrors of the Gemara to say as follows, that when Rosh Chodesh Adar is Malay, we don't have the ability to ban day 29 by virtue of the fact that it's the day before Aleph Nisan, because the day before Aleph Nisan is the 30th of Adar, if it's a Malay. So therefore, the only way to ban it is by virtue of the fact that it's the day after day 28. Again, in short, for Tosfos, our agenda here seems to be to ban day 29. Based on what we said earlier, the simple reading of Gemara is that our agenda is not to ban day 29. Our agenda is to ban the day before Rosh Chodesh Nisan, whenever that is. The Gemara's question to recall was, why do you have to ban the day before Rosh Chodesh Nisan by virtue of the fact that it's Aleph Nisan, the first of the 8-day holiday of the Tamid, but the day before Rosh Chodesh Nisan is already covered by being the day after the 28th day of Adar. So according to the simple reading of Gemara, our agenda is not specifically to ban day 29. Our agenda is to ban the day before Rosh Chodesh Nisan. So why then does Tosfos present the Gemara in the opposite direction? Ask the Achronim, starting with the Gilin Hashas, Rabbi Akiva Eger, as well as the Nodi Behuda, and other Achronim in the back as well, seemingly indicating that somehow the Gemara's agenda was Dafka to ban day 29, and therefore we say that in a year where Rosh Chodesh Nisan cannot ban it, because the day before Rosh Chodesh Nisan would be 30, so then we could only ban it because of day 28, meaning the day after day 28. But that seems to be the exact reverse direction of what the Gemara was trying to say, where its question was not on the power of Chof Ches Adar, but rather on the power of 1 Nisan. Why do we need to Aser it? It's already Rosh Chodesh. And the Gemara said, because the day before has to be Aser, and that wouldn't be true for Rosh Chodesh, which is Deoraisa, and therefore doesn't need Chizuk. So therefore we need to make it a Yom Tov the Megillas Tainis. So the Gemara, again, simply speaking, is answering that the day before, when it's Lamed, that's why we need 1 Nisan in order to be a holiday in the Megillas Tainis. The Tosfos explains it exactly in the opposite direction, seemingly not precise. So some of the Achronim want to change the gears of Tosfos, wherever it says Lamed, to substitute Chavtes, and wherever it says Chavtes, to substitute Lamed, and similar kinds of gears to changes. And in an Orbi Huda, he gives a fancier answer based on a complicated analysis. So Ayin Shom in the Achronim for that fancier analysis, which not all the Achronim are convinced, is a valid teretz within this Tosfos. Either way, this Tosfos is somewhat difficult. The first v'chulei in the Dibur Maschil seems to be somewhat superfluous because the Opening line of Tosis also is a quote of the Gemara, and then he says V'chulei also. So let's read it without the V'chulei. It's part of the Dibur Maschil, including the Dibur Maschil, the first line. The ilu ikla shum gzeira meresh yarcha V'chulei. T'manya gufei osir. To recall the background of the Gemara here, the Gemara pointed out that day 8 of Nisan is a day of overlapping holidays. Days 1 through 8 is a holiday celebrating a halachic victory concerning the Tamid, and days 8 through the end of Pesach is a holiday commemorating the halachic victory concerning the Chag of Shavuos, that it shouldn't only be on Sunday. So the Gemara asked, why do you need this overlapping day of day 8? You could have declared the first holiday to be days 1 through 8, and the second holiday to be from day 9 till the end of Pesach. So the Gemara answer is that if Chas V'Shalom, something happens against the Jewish people during that time frame of the first 8 days of Nisan, and that will lead us to abolish that holiday. So by declaring the second holiday from day 8 till the end of Pesach, so day 8 will still remain a festive day. So Tosis now quotes Rashi. Again, some are curious, as we mentioned earlier, from the Maritz Chayis, Tosis rarely seems to refer to Rashi in our Masechta, and this is already, I think, the second Tosis we had, where he does quote Rashi. Maybe only had the later part of it. Hiksha Kuntris, Akati Lematisha. You could still start the second holiday from day 9. Vafilu Mikla Shum Gzeira Vatlina Lezayin Yamin V'chulei. And even if some Gzeira happens and they have to annul the 7 days, meaning the 7 day holiday, which was part of the 8 day holiday, having to do with the Tamid, so that, at first glance, would leave day 8 high and dry, and it wouldn't be a festive day at all. So that's what Rashi asks. Akati still, Aser Tmanya Gufe, the 8th day will still be Aser, Mishem Dehavi Yoma, Dimekame Yoma, De Tosiv Chagadishuaya. Because that will be the day before the day that, again, the Baisusim, Itosav, were upshlugged, that they were disproven concerning the Yom Tov of Shavuos, that it doesn't always occur on Sunday. In other words, to briefly restate the Kasha that Rashi asks, that Tosis is now quoting, even if the holiday celebrated the beginning of Nisan from days 1 through 8 would be totally abolished, if we would start the second holiday, which goes from day 8 to the end of Pesach, even if we wouldn't start it on day 8, if we would start it on day 9, so day 8 would still remain Aser, because it will be the day before. And the day before, a holiday is also Aser B'tainis. So now Tosis proceed to quote Rashi's answer. V'tiritz ha-kuntritz. Ha lav pircha. This is not a kasha. T'ha miyamtif gufei detamid mivatlinan lei. Because it being a holiday for in and of itself concerning the Tamid, we would have nullified it. Meaning, on the theoretical level, had there been a decree that would have led us to nullify that yamtif. V'ano nekem v'nigzer mishem kame yoma di tosev chaga de shuaya. And we should come along and make a gzera not to fast on the day before day 9, meaning day 8, because of the day before the holiday of celebrating the halachic victory concerning Shavuos. What does this mean? This means that any time that a yomtiv in the Megillas Tainis is abolished, so even if that particular yomtiv has an overlap with another yomtiv that was not abolished, namely it's either the day before a yomtiv that was not abolished, or it's the day after that a yomtiv was abolished, but that particular day was abolished as a festive occasion in and of itself, so then we will abolish that day as being a festive day, even with respect to it being the day before or the day after a holiday that actually still exists. Because if because of a state of mourning, because of some kind of decree, we abolish the festivity of that day, so we're going to abolish the festivity both in terms of in and of itself and also the partial festivity because of the fact that it's a day before or the day after a holiday that still exists. And Tosis notes that calculation, v'chihai, the Bach adds in one word, gavna, v'chihai gavna mitartzinan lakaman b'yom taryonus. And in a similar way, the Gemara answers on Yilches Mabeis concerning Yom Tur Yonis. The Gemara explained that the 13th day of Adar was a festive occasion called Yom Nicanor, and the 12th day of Adar was a festive occasion called Yom Tur Yonis. So the Gemara points out that the 12th day of Adar is no longer celebrated as a festive day, even when they used to celebrate the holidays in Megillas Tainis, because of the fact that a terrible decree happened on the 12th day of Adar, where certain tzaddikim were killed. So the Gemara says, but let it at least be asur to fast, because it's the day before the 13th, which is Yom Nicanor. So the Gemara explains, similarly to what we just presented here, that since we abolished the festivity of that day, 12, because of the fact that a decree occurred, from it being a holiday in and of itself, namely Yom Tov Yonos, so we also abolish its special halachos of not fasting because of the fact that it's the day before Yom Nicanor. So Tosis quotes Rashi to say that that's why they had to prohibit fasting and eulogy on day 8, having to do with the halachic victory of Shavuos, and not just start from 9 and have 8 be Aser because of the fact that it's the day before 9, because if we would have abolished 1 through 8 of the festival having to do with the Tamid because of some kind of decree, then day 8 would be totally banned as a day of festivity if it would be the day before day 9. So that's why they had to count from day 8 itself as the holiday commemorating the halachic victory concerning Shavuos, because that wouldn't be affected by the removal of the holiday of the Tamid, because if the day itself is still festive, then we're not going to remove the festivity, even if Gzeira occurred, leading us to abolish the first holiday of 1 through 8, but we're not going to abolish the holiday of 8 through Pesach. There's a certain chiddush here, that even if a decree occurred during that period, which leads us to want to abolish the whole Yom Tov of 1 through 8, but if day 8 is already taken by some other holiday, we keep it as a festive day. Presumably, we're not talking about where the decree occurred all the way on days 1 through 8, because if that is true, then that would lead us to at least abolish day 8 as a festive day for the second holiday, or maybe even abolish the whole bunch of days of holiday from 8 through the end of Pesach. Well, let's say the decree happened on, let's say, 3 to 4 Nisan. So that would lead us to ban the festivity of the holiday of the Tamid. That'll take away days 1 through 8 of the Tamid. But since the decree didn't actually happen on day 8, so we're only going to take away surgically 1 through 7, because day 8 will remain as a result of the fact that that's the first day of the holiday having to do with Shavuos. Just as a follow-up on this Rashi, ultimately, that Tosis is quoting, so the Achron in the back point out that Rav Ashi pointed out that, according to Rabbi Yossi, the day after a holiday in the Megillas Tainis, and presumably the same will be true for the day before, that those are also usher to some extent, that those would only be usher in fasting, but hesped would be mutter. But if you have a day that's sandwiched in between two holidays of Megillas Tainis, such as the situation at hand, where you had Chof Ches Adar on one side and Aleph Nisan on the other side, at least in a year where Adar was Chaser, in a regular year where it's only 29 days, so that 29th day of Adar would be sandwiched in between the 28th of Adar and the first day of Nisan, so then that day in between gets upgraded to not only become Aser B'Tainis, but also to become Aser B'Hespet. So Rashi Lechora could have given a much simpler answer, that the reason that we had to declare day 8 as the beginning of the series of days in which we are celebrating the halachic victory concerning Shavuos, and not start from day 9, because had we started from day 9 and day 8 would be usher because of the day before, it would only be banned B'Tainis, not the fast. But now that we're banning day 8, Nisan, as the first of the real holiday of Megillas Tainis, and not just because it's the day before, then it's going to be usher both B'Tainis and B'Hespet. So there's a nafka mina in that. In other words, Mevashi was assuming that the day before and the day after is only Aser B'Tainis under ordinary circumstances, and it's Aser B'Tainis of a Hesped when it's in between two festive occasions. But Ravashi's premise is that the day before is normally only Aser B'Tainis. So here we have a simple answer, that if it's the festive holiday itself, it's Aser B'Tainis of a Hesped, and if it's the day before, it's only Aser B'Tainis. Some of the Achronim explain that if we look carefully at Rashi on the Mishnah, where Rashi is commenting on the Machlokas Tanoim, exactly which day is Aser, the day before, the day after, etc., he explains that the day before or the day after, depending on what you hold, are Aser B'Tainis of a Hesped. And then they proceed to ask, but that seems to be against the premise of Rav Ashi and Agamara. And then they explain that Rashi held that Rav Ashi's answer was only his unique answer. And the reason that the other Maroyim didn't like Rav Ashi's answer is because they held the day before and the day after, even if it's not sandwiched in between two holidays in Megillas Tainis, are also Aser B'Tainis of a Hesped. So it's based on that premise, since Rashi is commenting on a line of the Gemara that's not Rav Ashi's teretz, based on the assumption that if day 8 would be the day before a festival beginning on day 9 Nisan, it would also be Aser B'Hesped of a Tainis. So that's what Rashi asks. So why do they have to start from day 8? And his answer is, as Tosis quotes Rashi as saying, Taisi Maschil, Rav Omar Alokhi Rabbi Yossi, the Omar Lefon of Aser, Aval Acharav Mutter. The Oiz Vahar edition of the Gemara actually corrects the Dibi Maschil to read Rav Omar Alokhi Rabbi Yossi. Then the following line, the Omar Lefona Vasar Aval Acharav Mutter, is actually the beginning of Tosus's explanation that Rabbi Yossi holds that before the holiday it's Asr to fast and after the holiday it's Mutter to fast. To review the background behind the Gemara that Tosus is commenting on, the Gemara at the end of Yerches Amar Aleph quotes various opinions in the Amoroyim as to whether we should follow the view of the Tanakama, who held that a higher level holiday of Megillus Tainus, namely one that is Aser B'Tainus of a Hespid, that only the day before is Aser, which is the view of the Tanakama, and he would hold that if it's a minor holiday of the Megillus Tainus that's only banned from fasting, so then no days, neither before nor after, are additionally Aser. And Rabbi Yossi holds that it's a higher level holiday that's banned B'Tainus of Hespid, so both Lefanav and L'Acharav are Aser. And if it's a more minor holiday, there's only banned B'Tainus, so the day before is Aser and the day after is Mutter. So the Gemara quotes various Amoraim as to whether we should paskin like Rabbi Yossi, which is the view of Rav, and that serves as the Dibur Maschil of Tosfos. Rav Amar Halacha Ki Rabbi Yossi, with the opening explanatory line that we mentioned earlier, the Amar Lefon of Aser Aval Achar of Moter, or the Tanakama, or perhaps like a third view of Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, holds that only the days of Megillus Tainis themselves are Aser, and neither before nor after, as the Psak of Shmuel. So Tos is a kasha, which is also asked by other Rishonim as well. How do we fast on Tainis Esther, which is of course the day before Purim? And even though, as we shall see, Megillus Tainis was batel, was nullified, but concerning Purim and Chanukah, Megillus Tainis was not batel. So at first glance, it sounds like that not only were Chanukah and Purim not batel in the sense that they themselves are banned from Tainios and Espedim, but even the days before, and perhaps even the day after, according to Rabbi Yossi, should be banned from fasting as well. So how do we fast on Tainis Esther? Tos to begin. Vim Tomar. Since Rav says that Allah is like Rabbi Yossi, it sounds like Tosfos is assuming since Allah is Rav Bisuri, we should pass him like Rav. That's why he's troubled by Rav. Had Tosfos passing like Shmuel, who holds that Allah is like Rav Shimon Gamliel, that only the days of Megillus Tainis themselves are Asur, but neither the day before nor the day after, he wouldn't have discussion. So, again, since Rav holds Allah is like Rabbi Yossi, so how do we fast before Purim? Now Tos proposes an answer, which he immediately rejects. If you're going to say the Megillus Tainis is null and void, nevertheless, but concerning Chanukah and Purim, they were not nullified, as the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, that view test in the base, explicitly states. So Tos proceeds to give two answers as follows. Yeshlomar. That which it says in Masechta Rosh Hashanah that regarding Chanukah and Purim, Megillus Tainis is not batel, and therefore was still not allowed to fast and eulogize on them. What that means is adinim shelahem lasos on yomtiv. Their adinim on those days themselves to make them into holidays. Udelo lasano abahon, and not to fast on them, as well as not to eulogize. Aval bedinim delefneim batlu. But concerning the din that even the day before is banned from fasting and perhaps even eulogy, that indeed those were nullified as well. In other words, all the holidays of Megillus Tainis were totally nullified, except for Chanukah and Purim, which they themselves were not nullified. But with respect to the day before and after, then they indeed were nullified as well. This answer is quoted by the Ran in the name of Rav Yehuda Barzaloni, one of the early Rishonim, and is the most popular pshat in the Rishonim, and is indeed the standard pshat in Shulchan Aruch, notwithstanding that, as we shall see, tells us another answer, which would lead to a different conclusion, and some of the Achronim are machmir for that answer as well. The Ran explains a little better as to what the basis of this would be, that once we already see that the Chachamim want to minimize how many holidays we're celebrating, and ultimately the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah points out that that's as a result of the Churban Beis HaMikdash. So it stands to reason that we should pick the minimum shita concerning how we commemorate these holidays. And since Rabbi Shimon Gamliel held that only the holidays themselves are banned b'tainus of Hespid, or just b'tainus, depending on the particular holiday, but not the days before and after. So even if we wouldn't paskin like Rabbi Shimon Gamliel when Megillus Tainis was actually binding for all those holidays contained therein, but once they nullified Megillus Tainis, so we minimized the celebration of Megillus Tainis even with respect to those two holidays that survived the elimination of Megillus Tainis, namely Chanukah and Purim, that only they themselves remain festive days, but not the day before or the day after. Now Tosfos gives another answer. That's why the Bach adds in the word Vov. V'od Yishlomar. as well as changing some of the coming verbs from singular to plural, which seem to make the Tosfos read more smoothly. So we'll take those Girsa changes as we read along. Decheva, not the yom, but the yomim. Decheva, the yomim shelefnei apurim, shenis batlu, in the plural, miyom tiftithu, shoye regilin lasos behen, vinis batlu, yom tif shelahem. Meaning, the days before Purim, which used to be a Yom Tov, and those were nullified from their particular festivities, which they used to commemorate on them. Yachinami, so too, Yishlanu Lomar, Sheyibatlu, Mishamtam, Lifnea Purim. So those days should also be nullified from the perspective of there being the day before Purim. What is Tosis driving at? That the days before Purim, namely, the 13th of Adar, used to be a holiday in the Megillas Tainis, as the Gemara points out in the next Amud, with Yom Nikanor. And the day before Purim, namely Yud Beis Adar, was a different holiday in Megillas Tainis, namely Yom Tir Yonis. And the Gemara points out that Yom Tir Yonis was nullified because of a decree. But nowadays, Yom Nikanor is also nullified, not because of a decree, but because we no longer have Megillas Tainis. If that's the case, say Tosvis, Achinami yesh lanu lomar sheyivotlu mishum tam lifnei apurim. That once the 13th of Adar is nullified as an independent holiday, being Yom Nikanor, because we don't have Megillas Tainis anymore, so too it should be nullified as a holiday, being the day before Purim. The Achinami amrina b'samuch gabe yom shelifnei Nikanor. Here the Achronim and the Yosef Hadar slightly change the girsa. Gabe yom shelifnei Nikanor shehu yomtif Tiryonus, or Shehu Yom Tiryonus. As we explained in the previous Tosfos, that there was a Gzeira decree that certain tzaddikim were killed on Yom Tiryonus, and therefore was nullified. And once the 12th day of Adar, which was Yom Tiryonus, was nullified, so we no longer commemorate it as a day before Yom Nikanor and banning it from fasting. So too, Tos continued, Dechevan debotlu miyom shelahem, lo yeosru mishem yomtiv, habo achareihem, deasurim mishem yom shelafneim. A little bit of confusing phraseology. So let's explain. The Chevan de Batlu mi Yom Shalahem, the Bach Yedzin Yom Tov Shalahem, since that particular day was nullified as a Yom Tif in and of itself. So therefore, lo ye asru mishum Yom Tif habo achareihem. So that day is no longer going to be asr because of the real Yom Tif that still remains the day afterward. To ban that day beforehand as the day beforehand, the asurim mishum Yom Shalifneim, to be asr because of the day beforehand, all that we're not going to say. Applying it, as we said, to Yom Nikanor and Yom Tiryonis. So Yom Tiryonis was nullified because there was a decree. We might want to ban it anyway, the 12th of Adar, because of the Yom Habo Acharehem, namely Yom Nikanor, which is the 13th of Adar, because the 12th of Adar is the day before the 13th of Adar. We don't do that, because once we eliminate the festivity because of the 12th of Adar, in and of itself, we're not going to have festivity, quasi-festivity, because of the day before the day of the 13th of Adar. So that's what Tosfos now applies that to the 13th of Adar itself. Kamo Kain, so too. Nachanami here too. The Chayv and the Yom Shelefnei Purim is batel, since the day before Purim was nullified, Mishem Atzmo, because of it in and of itself. Because Yom Nikanor is no longer celebrated, because Bat Megillas Tainis and Mutlis Anos, therefore you could fast. Lo ye oser mishum Yom Shelefnei Purim. So therefore will no longer be banned as a result of the fact that it is a day before Purim. So this answer that Tosfos give is also a popular answer in the Rishonim. It's quoted in the name of the Ramban. The Ran, interestingly, has an objection to this second answer, because we should make a distinction between where a day is nullified as a day of festivity because of some tragedy that occurred, and a day that's nullified from festivity because of the fact that the whole Megillas Tainis was nullified. In the case of Yom Tov Yonus, that was nullified because of some specific tragedy that tzaddikim were killed on that day. But Yom Nikanor was just nullified together with all the other holidays of Megillas Tainis. So why do we have to, so to speak, be sad on the day before Purim, which is the 13th of Adar, just because Yom Nikanor is not commemorated anymore, but there was no specific tragedy that occurred on day 13, so we should still have some festivity to it. So therefore, other Rishonim either accept the first answer of Tosfos, that we're minimalizing the whole Megillas Tainis altogether, or they give other interesting answers. The Ran has all treatment of this, Ayin Shom, with two or three other answers. La Halacha, as we said, the Shulchan Aruch seems to accept the first one, and it's interesting that a nafkamina between these two answers and some of the other answers would be that if we go with the first approach, so there's no iser in fasting before Purim, after Purim, meaning after Shushan Purim, before Hanukkah or after Hanukkah, because we're minimizing the application of the Megillah Steinitz even to Hanukkah and Purim. But if you go with the second answer, or some of the other creative answers, that is uniquely referring to the 13th of Adar, which specifically used to be a holiday of Yom Nicanor, and then was abolished. So that is no longer a holiday, neither with respect to itself, nor with respect to being the day before Purim. But it would follow the day after Purim, meaning the day after Shushan Purim, the 16th of Adar, or the days both before Hanukkah and after Hanukkah, none of which were holidays in the Megillah Steinitz, that those should be banned from fasting and perhaps even eulogy. So that's what he pointed out, that the Shulchan Aruch paskins l'kula, and some Acharonim want to paskin l'chumra, at least with respect to the day before, in light of the view of the Tanakhama against Rabbi Yossi. The Gemara here on our daf is analyzing the Mishnah that was quoted on Tesvavim Mebeis, and our parak and the next parak, all the Mishnayos are all quoted together, which quotes the view of Rav Gamliel, that one is not allowed to be gozer tainis to decree a fast day on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, but if one already started the series of fasting on rain or other tzaras, and those holidays, Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, Purim, are encountered through the Mondays and Thursdays that we are fasting on, so one continues to fast, even though one would not initially be gozer tainis on those festive occasions. Well, once the fasting series already has begun, one continues to fast. So then the Mishnah proceeds to quote Rabbi Meir's qualification of Rabbi Gamliel's view, that even though he said to continue fasting, if those festive occasions, so to speak, bump into the series of fasting, but one would not be mashlim. One should not fast the whole day. Rather, one should break the fast before the end of the day. And the same would be true, continues Rabbi Meir, for Tisha B'Av that would fall out on Friday, that even though you fast, but eino misano mashlim, that you would not complete the day in fasting, but rather you would break it before Shabbos comes in, so as not to enter Shabbos in a state of suffering. So then the Gemara quotes the view of Rav Yehuda in the name of Rav, that represents the view of Rabbi Meir, quoting Rabbi Gamliel. But the Chachamim maintain, and that's what the Gemara in Erevin on Mem Aleph Mer Aleph points out, that the Chachamim are actually Rabbi Yossi, that Misano Mashlin, that not only would you continue the series of fasting to some extent on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah, and Purim, but would actually complete the fast days as well. Then the Gemara concludes with the statement of Marzutra in the name of Rav Huna that the halacha is misano mashlim in accordance with the Chachamim, namely the view of Rabbi Yossi. So on that Gemara, Tos has the following somewhat cryptic comment. Pirish, that psak of Rav Huna, as quoted by Marzutra, hadika pasak halacha misano mashlim, that the halacha is that we fast the whole day, on Rosh Chodesh koi. It's going only on Rosh Chodesh. The Iyach Hanukkah Vapurim, for if it were going on Hanukkah and Purim, ain't a Yochel Esanis. One is not allowed to fast, at least the whole day. The Yom Mishnah V'Simcha Ksiv, because concerning them, it is written that they are days of feasting and joy. So clearly fasting is a total contradiction to feasting and joy, and therefore you would not be able to at least complete a fast on those days. The Achronim ask a series of questions on this Tosfos. First, the tactical one, that Tosfos quotes the pasuk of Mishnah V'Simcha, which is famously written concerning Purim, but it is not written concerning Chanukah. So to this I saw two answers. One is given by Rav Shlomo Vilna in the commentary Cheshek Shlomo, found in the back of the Gemaras, that Tosfos might hold, like some Rishonim hold, that Chanukah also days of feasting and meals, not just the prohibition of fasting, in light of the fact that there was a Chanukah HaMizbeach then, that they dedicated the new Mizbeach in the days of the Chashmonaim. This view is also quoted by the Ramah, even though the mainstream view is that there is no Chiyuv of Seuda on Chanukah. The Korban Nisana on the Rosh says that this refers to the regular halacha in Megillah Steinitz, that the holidays of Megillah Steinitz, including Chanukah, are prohibited from fasting and Hesped. That answer seems to be difficult, because Rosh Chodesh is also prohibited in fasting and Hesped. So why would Chanukah be a step above Rosh Chodesh? So, for now, we'll go with the approach of the Cheshek Shlomo in answer to that question, that Tosfos hold that Chanukah are also days of feasting, and not just like Rosh Chodesh, where it's just an Isser of fasting, but not an actual Chi of Seuda. This general idea that Rosh Chodesh, although it's called a Moed, or some kind of holiday, but there's no Chiyuv of Mishnah V'Simcha, is already mentioned by Rashi on the Mishnah on Tesvav and Beis. The fact that it's a Moed prohibiting us from Lechatchila, establishing a fast day on Rosh Chodesh, but the fact that it's not a day of Mishnah V'Simcha, allowing us to continue fasting on Rosh Chodesh once a series of fasts already has begun before it. But the more fundamental question on Tosfos seems to be that how do Tosfos go against the simple reading of the Gemara? Mazutra quotes Rav Huna as saying, Halacha, Misano Mashlim, and the Gemara does not qualify that it's going only on Rosh Chodesh and that on Chanukah and Purim are not Mashlim. So what is the basis of Tosfos going against the simple reading of the Gemara? Furthermore, as pointed out by the Marasha in Masechta Erevin, Daf Mem Aleph Amid Aleph, where the Gemara has a parallel sugya, quoting parts of our Gemara with additional analysis specifically of the concept of Misano Mashlim, when we complete the fast day and when we break the fast day in the middle, explicitly states at one stage in the Gemara that maybe this statement of the Chachamim, which, as we mentioned briefly earlier, are none other than Rabbi Yossi, that Misano Mashlim, that maybe that's only going on Chanukah and Purim. That maybe on Chanukah and Purim, we are Mashlim, but it's not going on Tisha B'Av. Whereas we mentioned earlier, Rabbi Meir holds that on Tisha B'Av, that falls out on Friday, we would not complete the fast day, so one shouldn't enter Shabbos in a state of fasting. So maybe even Rabbi Yossi would agree that on Tisha B'Av we don't do that. In the end, the Gemara rejects that and assumes that Rabbi Yossi holds that even on Tisha B'Av that falls out on Friday, in our calendar it never falls out, but if it would fall out on Friday, when they were Makadei Shalpi Haria, so then you would actually be Misano Mashlim even on Tisha B'Av. So the Marasha asks, there the Gemara had a Havamina that it's only going on Chanukah and Purim, at least not on Tisha B'Av. Presumably that Gemara actually meant that it's going on Chanukah, Purim, and Rosh Chodesh. And here Tosfos turns around and says that it's not going on Chanukah and Purim. So how could that be? There seems to be a difficult question. So in the back of the Gemara, again, one of the Achronim, by the name of the Mitzpah Eson, written by Rabbi Avram, according to the who's who in the beginning of the Gemara, gives what I think is a very brilliant answer. He first notes that Tosfos delayed their comment, not to the statement of Rav, quoted a little earlier in our Gemara, that only Rabbi Meir holds that you're not Misano Mashlim, but the Chachamim hold you are Misano Mashlim. Tosfos did not comment on that line, but rather he commented on the final line of the Gemara, where Marsutra quotes Rav Huna that Halacha Misano Mashlim, which is the Dibur Maskil of Tosfos. So why is that? Why didn't Tosfos comment on the earlier line? So the Mitzvah Eson explains that Rav himself, the author of the earlier line that Rabbi Yossi holds Misano Mashlim, as well as Rabbi Yossi, the Tana that Rav is quoting, they hold in the Gemara Rosh Hashanah that Batla Megillas Tainis. To recall, this is something that came up in previous Dapim and previous discussions of Tosfos. The Megillas Tainis, of course, is the list of the minor holidays of all the 12 months of the year, and the Gemara Rosh Hashanah quotes a Machlokis, Tanoim, and Amaroyim as to whether those holidays were nullified or not. So Rav and Rabbi Yossi are of the group of Amaroyim and Tanoim, respectively, who hold that Batla Megillas Tainis. And there's another group of Amaroyim, Rabbi Yochanan of Adon Amora, and of Tanoim, Rabbi Meir, that lo Batla Megillas Tainis, that those holidays still apply. So the Gemara concludes by quoting a stira that the halacha is batla megillas tainis and the halacha is lo batla megillas tainis. And the Gemara resolves the contradiction by saying, ha b'chanukah purim, ha b'shar yamim tovim. That Chanukah and Purim still exists, not going to now exactly why those are exceptions, and the other holidays are nullified. So the Mitzvah Eson points out that Rav and Rabbi Yossi themselves held that batla megillas tainis, presumably across the board, including Chanukah and Purim. Now, Purim has to be somewhat limited in terms of his bittul, because Purim is a holiday not from the Megillas Tainis alone, it's actually Megillas Esther at the Kana of Mordechai's Beis Din. So when we say Batla Megillas Tainis, according to Rav and Rabbi Yossi regarding Purim, that would mean that those who celebrate the 14th wouldn't have a prohibition against fasting and eulogies on the 15th, and vice versa. But actually celebrating the 14th for the unwalled cities and the 15th for the walled cities, that would be binding not from the perspective of Megillas Tainis, from the perspective of Megillas Esther. But Chanukah would totally be nullified. The Gemara's conclusion is that we don't accept the view of Rav and Rabbi Yossi with respect to Chanukah and Purim, only with respect to the other holidays. So the Mitzvah Eson explains that Tosfos is explaining la halacha. That's why he comments on the last line of the Gemara in the name of Rav Huna, halacha misano mashlim, that since we paskin that lo batla megillas tainis with respect to Chanukah and with respect to Purim, so therefore we would not be able to fast the whole day, even if we already started a series of fasts beforehand, in light of the fact that those are festive occasions. The Gemara in Erevin that said explicitly that the statement of Rabbi Yossi, which was quoting the name of the Chachamim as quoted by Rav is perhaps only going on Chanukah and Purim and not on Tisha B'Av, that was assuming that Batla Megillas Tainis. And therefore, one would be able to fast the whole day on Chanukah and Purim, because Rav and Rabbi Yossi, to recall, are those who held that Batla Megillas Tainis. And with respect to fasting on Purim, that would mean fasting on the other day that one does not celebrate, because it is that day that is celebrated by virtue of the Megillas Tainis and not by the explicit psukim in Megillas Esther, namely that for an unwalled city who celebrates the 14th day, so then the fasting on Purim, if it bumps into the previously started series of fasting, would only be permitted on the 15th. And for the people in the walled cities who celebrate the 15th day based on Megillas Esther, so then the fasting on Purim for a series of fast days that already had begun earlier would only be able to take place on the 14th. But la halacha, Tosis is pointing out, we paskin there regarding Chanukah and Purim, la batla Megillas Tainis, and therefore one would not be able to fast the whole day. And that's in contrast to Rosh Chodesh. Because as we noted earlier from Rashi on the Mishnah, and Tosis seems to be understanding similarly, that although Rosh Chodesh is called Moed, based on a pasuk in Eicha, quoted by the Gemara Shavuos Daf Yud, that kara alai Moed, lishbor bachurai, concerning the Chorban, concerning Rosh Chodesh Av, so although Rosh Chodesh is called Moed, which is enough of a reason to ban fasting on it lechatchila, but since it is not known as a Yom Mishta V'Simcha, nor is it a holiday in Megillas Tainis, and therefore Tosis maintain that although one is not allowed to decree a fast lechatchila on Rosh Chodesh, but if one already had a series of fasts and Rosh Chodesh is encountered, one would fast. The Gemara earlier pointed out that Rosh Chodesh is Daraisa, so it's damn difficult how one is able to fast on Rosh Chodesh, even if it is encountered after the fasting already begun through a series of other days. So, Sa'ul the Achronim, the Prima Gadim, others point out that when the Gemara says Rosh Chodesh is Daraisa, it's lav dafka, not precise, it's more of an asmachta, and there really is no issa Daraisa. It seems one has to add a bit to the words of the Mitzvah Eson, because lechatchila, even Rav and Rabbi Yossi agree that one is not gozer tainis on Chanukah and Purim. Well, why not? If Batla Megillah is tainis, so why can't you make a decree on them even lechatchila if they no longer apply? So presumably you have to add that the Ran quotes in the name of the Ravid, it's actually quoted by the later Poskim and the Mishnah Berurah as well, that the Ravid holds that even though Batla Megillah is tainis, concerning all those other holidays in the Megillah is tainis, but one is not allowed to be gozer a tainis sibur, a communal fast day on those days. One could only fast an individual fast day. So it seems the Mitzvah Eson would be assuming that Tosis would hold like that as well. So lechatchila, one would not be able to decree a communal fast day, a tainis sibur, on Chanukah and Purim, even if you would hold Batla Megillas tainis regarding those days as well. So in summary, one is not allowed to lechatchila be gozer tainis, according to Rav and Rabbi Yossi, even though Batla Megillas tainis with respect to Chanukah and Purim, because even if Batla Megillas tainis, one is not allowed to initially fast on those days b'tzibur, but if you already started a series of fasting beforehand, then you bump into it, you'll be allowed to continue fasting. But that's only going to Rav and Rabbi Yossi, that Batla Megillas tainis, even with respect to Chanukah and Purim. But we hold that lo Batla Megillas tainis with respect to Chanukah and Purim, so we would have to limit the continuation of the series of fasts that we're allowed to fast if these festive occasions fall out after the series has already begun to Rosh Chodesh. But on Chanukah and Purim, we would not be able to complete the fast. Quite a chiddush, both of Tosus and in the explanation of the Mitzvah Eson. La Halacha, the Beis Yosef points out, without even quoting this Tosus, that the Rambam and the Rif and the Rosh, they all quote this Gemara Kipshuto, and therefore one would theoretically continue fasting on Rosh Chodesh, Chanukah and Purim, if a series of fasts was started beforehand. Presumably the Svara would be, in contrast to Tosfos, that since the fasting is a din derabbanan, and Purim and Chanukah, even if you hold lo batla Megillas tainis regarding them, but bottom line is still a din derabbanan, so the Chachamim ordained, b'vchinas heim amru v'heim amru, they said, the Chachamim have a right to create leniencies and stringencies within their own laws, then in the outset, we do not decree fasts on Chanukah and Purim and Rosh Chodesh, but if it's already part of a series of fasting that already has begun, so then we would indeed fast. In the standard Vilna Shas, and also the Vilna Chorosh, which also I see here on Hebrew books, there's a mistake in the Dira Maschil. The Dira Maschil is supposed to end at Masriyan Aleya Miyad, and then the Tosis begins with the word Umisanin. In the Ozvahara, they corrected this. So we're going to go with that approach. The Gemara tells us that for various abnormalities in the crop growth and the rain cycle, where the crops dry out or some other issue, Rashi points out, they produce some kind of very inferior quality seed, or if the rain stops for 40 days, this already indicates, as the Ran points out, something that does not lend itself to any kind of delay, and therefore we cannot go with the regular series of the fasting of 3, 3, and 7 with increasing severity, but rather, as the Mishnah says, Masriyan Alein Miyad, that we immediately sound the alarm. To recall earlier, in the Gemara on Yudalet Amud Aleph, it was debated whether that means just blowing shofar or the chatzotrots or slichos as well. But everyone agrees, as pointed out by the Gemara on Yudalet Amud Aleph, that it at least refers to shofar. So Tosfos, as does the Ran, point out that Masriyan Alein Miyad does not mean that we only sound the alarm, but rather, and that's the beginning of the Tosfos, based on what we said earlier in terms of whether the Maskil ends and Tosfos begin, Umisanin Kimokein, that you're Masriyan, but you also fast as well. Vafila Rishonos, Tosfos further elaborate, that even in the first fast days, you already are going to be Masriyan, which is something that was only done, to recall, in the first parak, where it points out the various gradations of the fast, that was only done in the series of the last 7. Shechomar Achronos Noaginbo, that the stringency of the last fast days immediately apply in the first fast days. The Ran is even more explicit, that not only are we Masriyan, but all the prohibitions of 25-hour-a-day fasting, Laila V'yom, as well as being also Rechitza, V'sicha, Milzasando, Tashamita, and so on and so forth. So in light of that interpretation, Tosis now is the following kasha. Tomar, the Bach adds in a word and a letter, kevan deha de masriin, mashma de masriin, and masanin, since when the Mishnah says masriin miyad, it means not only that we leave below shofar, let's just say that for argument's sake, that it's not referring to slichos, but to shofar, so we'll just translate it as shofar. That since Masriyan, Mashma the Masriyan, and Masanin, that we blow shofar and we fast, Amai Tzarech L'Farash M'Masnis and M'Samach, why does the Mishnah a little later on, why does it have to spell out, quote, O Sa'ir Misana Masras, that that city should fast and blow shofar? Gemara points out that in various additional tzaros, such as a city that has rain and the surrounding cities don't have rain, or a city that has pestilence, dever, or walls falling abnormally. So that city, Osair, the one that had the actual tzaras, misana, masras, and all the surrounding cities, so the Mishnah quotes a machlokus mi Tanakam Rebbe Akiva, whether the surrounding cities are misanos velo masrios, that they fast and they don't blow shofar, or, according to Rebbe Akiva, masrios velo misanos, that they blow shofar but they don't fast. So now back to the words of Tosis. So why was it necessary to point out in the Mishnah, Amai tzarech l'farash m'masnisin b'samuch, o sa'ir mis'ana u'masras, kevin d'stam masrios, mashmat arvayu. So I was explained earlier that the word masrios in the context of the Mishnah means to blow shofar together with fasting, in addition to fasting. So why did it have to say mis'ana masras? It could have just said, o sa'ir masras. And then you would know that it means fasting as well, just like it meant in the Reisha, when it said that, as an example, when the rain stops for 40 days, in between rain and rain, so masrios miyad, which means fasting and shofar blowing. So Tosfos answer Ish Lomar Mishum Deboy La Fluge Rabbi Akiva B'Seifa, because Rabbi Akiva was going to argue in the latter part of the Mishnah, as we quoted briefly earlier, the Ka'amar who says masrios velomisanos, that the surrounding cities they blow shofar and they don't fast. So that's why the Mishnah took the pains to explain that that city, Misana Umasras, that fasts and blows shofar, and it didn't suffice with just saying Masras, because that would be confusing. Because Rabbi Akiva says, Masrios velo Misanos, concerning the surrounding cities, that you just blow shofar and you don't fast. So that's why concerning the city itself, the Mishnah took the pains to spell it explicitly, Misana Umasras, you fast and blow shofar. And as we mentioned briefly earlier, the Tanakhama holds that surrounding cities are misanos velo masrios. They fast and they don't blow shofar. And Rabbi Akiva holds masrios velo misanos. But everyone agrees that the city itself is misana umasras. Again, mentioned for emphasis to make sure we don't get confused with Rabbi Akiva's view concerning the surrounding city, but the city itself has to fast and masras. But in the Reisha, where we weren't quoting the view of Rabbi Akiva concerning the surrounding cities, that you masrios velo misanos, so the Mishnah sufficed with just the language of masrios miyad, expecting the learner of the Mishnah to appreciate and to understand that that means in addition to the baseline fasting.